Happy for another, I guess this is the first Wednesday that the kids have been out of school. So super grateful for another blessed school year. Hope everybody's kids and their grandkids had a great school year. And now we all get to enjoy them being home for the summer. Let's pray and then we'll jump into the word of the Lord. The scripture today will come out of 1 Samuel chapter 13, verse 11. 1 Samuel chapter 13, verse 11. Let's pray. Oh God, thank you for this day, Lord. Thank you for this time appointed that we get to come together and share your word and listen to one another. And God, just really, really feast in the spirit on the spiritual word that you have for us, Lord. I thank you that you are a good, good father, that you feed us. I thank you that you're a good, good father, that you love us and you take care of us. And Lord, that some water and some plant, but it's on you to bring the increase. And I know that's not pressure to you, God. I know it's easy for you. And I thank you for the increase in each one of our lives. I thank you for the testimonies that we have and the testimonies to come. I thank you, God. God, I thank you for your faithfulness, for never letting us down, for always being right there with us, for not being scared when the enemy comes in, for not being scared when we don't know what to do. God, this morning I pray that you will help each one of us to focus on you as opposed to focus on the enemy, to focus on your love as opposed to focus on fear. This day, God, we say yes to your blessings, yes to your favor, yes to your forgiveness, and yes to your love. We consider these things done by faith in you, giving you all glory and praise. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Thank you, Lord. Amen. First, I'd like to start off by saying, man, what a blessing last week. My little brother Chris getting to share with us. I enjoy hearing him speak. It wasn't too long ago that me and him were selling drugs together and doing all sorts of stupid, dumb stuff. So to go from that to go to now we get to share things in the spirit and share what the word of the Lord says, it's a complete 180, and I honor God for that. I don't want it to ever be too common for me. I want to make sure that I point out that God has been so, so good. So definitely honor Chris for his time and his willingness to say yes to the Lord. 1 Samuel chapter 13, verse 11, I'll give you kind of the backstory. You have Samuel, who was the prophet of the Lord. You have Samuel, who was hearing the voice of the Lord, who was an authority figure. You have Saul, who the people had chosen to make their king. When people say that Saul was the first king of Israel, but David was the first king that God chose. God's intention for his people, I believe, was never to have a king. It was never to say to his people that this is the way that I want you to do things. It was never meant for God's people to look to a man and look at him in such a way that they look to the man more than they look to God. They never wanted it. God never wanted it to be that our focus was on a man rather than him. But the Bible says that the people cried out to make us a king like the other nations, like the other people have a king. So God gave them Saul. But when it was God's turn to choose, he chose a man after his own heart by the name of King David. So you have Saul here and you have Samuel here. That Samuel had told Saul, listen, go to this place, wait for me there, and when I get there, we're going to offer a sacrifice. There were people on every side of him. It was a time of war. Saul wanted to be this great king. He wanted to be this great, he wanted to look like this great man inside of all the people. So Saul began to look at the people scatter. Saul began to look at the people get upset. They were scared. Saul was scared. And he ultimately offers the sacrifice before the prophet got there, before Samuel got there. And that's where we're going to pick up right here in 1 Samuel chapter 13, verse 11. And the Bible says, and Samuel said, "What have you done?" Saul said, "When I saw that the people were scattered from me, and that you did not come within the days appointed, and that the Philistines gathered together at Michmash, then I said, 'The Philistines will now come down on me at Gilgal, and I have not made supplication to the Lord.' Therefore, I felt compelled," your version might say, "I forced and offered a burnt offering." Verse 13, "And Samuel said to Saul, 'You have done foolishly. You have not kept the commandment of the Lord, your God, which he commanded you. For now, the Lord would have established your kingdom over Israel forever, but now your kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought for himself a man after his own heart, and the Lord has commanded him to be commander over his people, because you have not kept what the Lord commanded you." Today I want to talk about, if I had a title, it would be, it's a heart issue. Why did Saul offer these sacrifices before it was time, before the prophet, before the soon to be after the order, the priest would get there? What caused Saul to do something that he knew better than to do? Today, brothers and sisters, what causes me to be impatient when God gave me a promise? What causes me to be irrational? What causes me to be angry? What causes you to be scared? What causes your brother or your sister or your mom or your dad or your children to act in certain ways that they know that they shouldn't be doing? What causes that? And I would say one of the base reasons that a lot of us mess up, a lot of us don't do the will of the Lord, is it's because instead of choosing love, we choose fear. The Bible says that Saul began to watch the people disperse. He began to, with a strong army, and he saw people go away, and he saw people move, and he saw people not do what he wanted them to do. And before that he could really allow God to be God, he chose to take things into his own hands. How many of us can testify that when we take things in our own hands, instead of allowing the Lord to be Lord, things never go right? We might have a good thing happen or a small good thing happen, but ultimately speaking, if you and I can wait on God, if we can trust God that God has our best interest at heart, then God's plans will always be better than your and my plans. God's ways, the Bible says, are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. And the reason it says that, and it's a really, really simple thought, but it's God understands way more than you and I do. He knows what this person over here is doing, and he knows if this job's good for you or me, and he knows if this opportunity's good for me, and he sees it from beginning to end and end to beginning. God doesn't look at opportunities like you and I do. He's already played it out. He's not controlled by time, or he's not bound by time like you and I are. He already knows the end from the beginning and the beginning from the end. And I want to encourage you today that if God's gave you a promise, or if God's told you to do something, or if God's encouraged you to hold on until the appropriate time, that it's okay that if people move away, and it's okay if people don't understand the promise, and it's okay if people don't believe in you like they really should, because as long as God said it, then that absolutely settles everything else. Saul began to look at the face of the people, and instead of choosing love and obedience, he chose fear. He chose to make himself look good in the eyes of the people. And the Bible says that he goes on and he offers these sacrifices like he's doing the right thing, but his heart wasn't in it. You see, you can lie to me, Brother Kevin. Even you could lie to me if you want to. You could tell me certain things, and if God doesn't give me the power of discernment, then the lie will go right to and through me. Coach Pardee, you can tell your kids, or you can tell your friends, or you can tell your boss whatever you want to, and maybe the lie doesn't stick to them, or maybe they don't understand the truth. But there's one person today, brothers and sisters, that absolutely knows the truth, and his name is God. His name is Yahweh, and he's good, and we should call him Abba, and we should treat him like he's a good, good father. I'm not for sure why I know why I lie to God sometimes, because I'm scared or because I'm embarrassed. or because I want to try to pretend. I want to try to convince myself because I know I didn't do the right thing, or I know that I acted out of fear and anger versus allowing God to be God. But the question that I really want to pose today is that Saul was told not to offer the sacrifices. He was told to wait on the prophet, wait on the priest to come, wait on the spiritual authority in his life. And the Bible says that he offers it. And the Bible goes on to say, listen, Saul, this is what God said. He said, listen, I'm going to take the kingdom out of your hand because you would rather be great in the eyes of people rather in my eyes. But several years later, you have somebody like David that would wear a linen ephod. What that represented is he would stand in the same position that a priest would. You would have King David eat showbread that was holy unto the Lord that only the priest would eat. You would have King David put the ephod on again. You would have King David time after time after time again do pretty much what Saul was trying to do, is stand in the same authority as the prophet or the priest. But God never condemned or judged David. God never said, David, you shouldn't have done that. David, you shouldn't have put on the linen ephod because you're not after a certain household or a certain family. What was the difference in the two? And today the difference was their heart. Saul was acting out of fear and David was acting out of love and obedience and worship to the King of all kings. When we get a bad diagnosis, what's our first thought? I know sometimes when I talk to Alex about people in my life or people that ask me to pray for them, sometimes, and this is kind of embarrassing, but it does happen, me and Alex will end up getting into an argument. I'll explain to her the prognosis, the diagnosis. I'll explain to her the situations. And she'll simply say back to me, well, I'll pray for them. Or, okay, thanks, I know what to pray for. Something along those lines. And her, as a matter of fact, faith sometimes challenges me in such a way that it scares me or it frustrates me. I don't think she's paying it enough attention, or I don't think that she understands how big the problem is. And now I know when I tell her these things, she's looking back at me and saying, listen, you don't understand how big my God is. You don't understand that there's not some war going on that God's fighting against Satan and all these things. God is still in control no matter that evil does happen. Today, I want you to know that anything going on has been okay by the Father. And He's good and He loves us and He desires to speak to us. Last week, Brother Chris told us that we are overcome by the word of our testimony and the blood of the Lamb, meaning that you and I have life and death in the power of our tongues. My wife gets on to our kids and to pretty much our adopted daughter, Maylee, for saying certain things because it's negative, and she understands that there's power in what we say. I want you to know today that if you'll choose to speak life over a situation, then watch God confirm it. If I'll choose to not be scared, but to hold on, even though things aren't moving as quickly in my life as I want them to. If I'll choose to hold on just because maybe me and my wife hadn't got pregnant again 11 or 12 years ago. You see, what most people don't understand is we tried for a really, really long time to get pregnant. My wife actually got to the point that she thought she couldn't have kids. But on one Sunday, the woman of God spoke a word. She spoke a word that Alex would get pregnant, and we combine that with faith. And then we have Joshua, who in a couple months is about to turn 12 years old. And then we have Isabel in a couple months, it's about to turn 10 years old. Didn't even pray for Isabel, but look what the Lord has done. You and I serve a God that just won't meet our requests or meet our prayers. He'll do exceedingly and abundantly. The devil does not want you to believe that God will not only do what you're asking, but He'll exceed your expectations. That's what a good, good father does. when Samuel looked at Saul and said, "What have you done?" Saul's response tells us everything. He pretty much says, "Listen, you didn't get here when you said you were going to get here. The people were moving and shaking and they were going away from me, and I did what had to be done." I believe Saul thought he was righteous. I believe Saul thought that he made a good choice. I believe that Saul thought that, "Listen, you didn't do what you said, so I'm not going to do what I say. I took matters into my own hands because I think I know better than the ways of God." It's a bold statement, but have you ever made it? Maybe not with your words, but what about with your actions? You see, it's easy to say anything, but you can judge something by your actions. I can tell Isabel that I love her all day long, but if I'm not willing to provide for her, if I'm not willing to listen to her, if I'm not willing to go pick up her friend because it makes her happy, if I tell Joshua I love you, but I won't let him sleep with me in the middle of the night because he got scared, then do I really love him? Saul thought that, "Listen, Samuel, God's way didn't work out this time, but that's okay." You can hear it in his response. You can hear it when Samuel says, "Listen, what have you done?" Saul has every excuse under the sun. How many of us do that with God? When God says, "Listen, why didn't you do it my way? Why didn't you just wait? Why didn't you just believe?" Sometimes I feel foolish, absolutely embarrassed that I was scared over a situation or worried or thought it wouldn't happen or thought that it was the best thing for me, and God completely showed me the opposite. And God has never, not one time in my life, been wrong. Not one time has he disappointed me. Not one time has he let me down. Not one time has he been short or slow concerning his promises. His ways are always perfect. His timing is absolutely perfect. But why don't I believe in him? I'm telling you, I can have somebody do me wrong 20 times in a week, and that 21st time, I'll believe them sometimes more than I believe God. Why? Because I think that my control is better than God's control. I think that my plan is just a little bit better than God's plan. Because if I'm going to trust God, if you today in closing are going to trust God, you have to believe. I wish I was taught this when I was 10 years old. God, I wish somebody would have told me when I was 12 years old that God was fascinated with me. I wish somebody would have told me that I'm the apple of God's eye. I wish somebody would have told me that he has plans to bless me and to take care of me. And in Joshua and Jeremiah, it tells me to give me an expected end, meaning that he not only created me, but he made things happen in order until the day that I get to see him. I wish somebody told me that God was so in love with me, that he's concerned about even how the hairs on my head are numbered. I wish somebody would have told me that God loves me like I've never been loved before. I wish somebody would have told me to just open up your heart to the King of all kings, to the one that knew no sin yet became sin, to the one that has eyes like a fire, that's so holy and so perfect that he shouldn't want anything to do with me, but he chose to send his only son so that I could have life and life more abundantly. I wish somebody would have told me that if I want to see love, I don't need to look at some kind of woman or some kind of amount of money or whatever it may be. I should have looked into the one that knew no sin, but he loved me enough that he wants to talk to me. He redeemed me. He wants to have fellowship with me. I wish somebody would have told me how fascinated he was by me. When David would sit back and say, "Lord, what is man that you are mindful of him?" Like David was saying, "Listen, God, you created all these beautiful things, these beautiful animals, the universe, and all these spectacular things. Why are you concerned with me?" But David wasn't saying it from a spot of saying, like, we're not enough. David was ultimately saying, "What's on the inside of me? What's on the inside of me, God, that you so love me? What's on the inside of me that you do all these things for me? And I want you to know today, brothers and sisters, that there's something great on the inside of you. It may be coming out already, but there's something greater on the inside of you, because I believe there's different levels we can yield to the love of God. I want you, it's not being cocky and it's not being stuck up, to know that God is in love with you. You can think that you're God's favorite. You can think that he did all this just for you, because I promise you, if you were the only one on earth, he still would have sent Jesus to die for us. Do not allow the enemy to convince you or to trick you that God is not so in love with you, so fascinated with you, that he wants to give you spiritual gifts and he wants to speak to you and he wants you to listen to him. Why is it so hard to sit before God and just listen? Why is it so hard that when we sit before God and just say, "Speak, Lord," you give me a good 22 seconds and my mind is on a baseball game I went to when I was 8 years old? Or my mind is on what Alex and her brother did when they were 16 years old. I don't know, just the strangest things. Because I believe today that if we'll sit before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, that he will speak to us. And if you can start hearing God speak to you and speak to your heart and see God move in miraculous ways, then you'll no longer be like Saul. And I'll no longer be like Saul. I won't move because people are making me feel frustrated. I won't be scared because people are leaving me. I won't be worried that things aren't happening in the timing that I think they should happen. I'll simply sit still and see the salvation of the Lord. I will sit still and see how amazing that this God that you and I serve, and he's not far away. I wish when I was 10 years old, somebody would have told me that he wants to talk to me, that I don't have to be a pastor and I don't have to be an apostle. Those things are absolutely amazing and they have purpose in the kingdom, absolutely. But I wish somebody would have told me that God wanted to talk to me like he talked to David. I wish somebody would have talked to me or told me that just like God talked to Paul, God wants to talk to me or John or Peter or Matthew or James. I wish somebody would have told me how in love with me he is. Today, I want you to know he's in love with you. He's fascinated by you, and your sin doesn't scare my God. My shortcomings and my sin does not scare my God. He's too perfect. He's too holy and he's too righteous. And he wants to talk to us. And he wants to change our heart from fear to love. I promise you, if you can see the love of God in your life, that'll forever change things in your life. No doubt, 100%. Chris told us last week that if we'll share our testimony and by the blood of the Lamb, that we are more than overcomers. That's how we get over things. That's how we encourage people. And I'm telling you today, the fastest way to get to that point is to realize how much he loves you and how much he loves me. Little kids can sing, "Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so." But somehow between the ages of 5, 6, 7, 8, whatever, to 15 to 20 years old, we forget that kind of love. The song hadn't changed and neither has he. Let's pray. Yahweh, I thank you. I thank you that you're good all by yourself. I thank you that you're strong and kind and full of love and grace, Lord. And I pray today for my brothers and sisters that's in this call and that will get to hear this message in the days and weeks and years to come. Yahweh, I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus, God, that you will reveal to our hearts how fascinated you are with us, how much you love us, how much you desire to speak to us, how you desire to keep us in your arms and to protect us and to take care of us. God, I pray in the name of Jesus that you will show each one of us that you are exactly who you say that you are. There's no shadow of turning in you. You're not slack concerning your promises. Your promises are yes and amen. You are good, God. Yes, you are. Hallelujah to you this morning. You are good all by yourself. And today we say yes to love and we rebuke fear, doubt, and worry. And we say yes to your plans and yes to your goodness and yes to everything that you have for our lives. God, we want to be like King David, and we want to stand in the order of a prophet and stand in the order of a priest. We want to eat the showbread. We want to worship you. We want to do all these things with you, God, and we're going to do them not because we're scared or worried, but because we honor you as our Lord and Savior. God, we believe these things, and we ask that you settle them, and we give you the glory you so rightfully deserve. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.